I choose the Jesus way. I don't think we're super, super familiar, but we're learning it, and that is a great, great song. I choose the Jesus way. There is another path. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. The way of Jesus is the only way that leads to life. And so that's why we choose it. If you will, turn your Bibles to the first chapter of John. I want to hear some of those crinkly pages turning. If you only have your device, feel free to follow there, and we'll also have the scripture up on the screen. Church, today we're stepping into one of the most personal and transformative moments in the Gospel of John. It's the moment when Jesus calls Philip, and then Philip brings Nathanael, and Nathanael discovers that Jesus has known him all along. Woven through the passage is a simple invitation, and it's an invitation that still extends to us today. Come and see. Come and see. Not come and perform. Not come and pretend. Not come and understand everything perfectly. Simply come and see. This passage shows us what happens when ordinary men take that invitation seriously. It shows us how discipleship begins, how faith begins to grow, and how Jesus reveals himself to those who are willing to take a step toward him. So let's walk through this story together. Appreciate Jonathan's reading. Let's read that again and we'll continue on in our text. The first chapter of John, this is verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, and finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. And when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said of him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. And Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were standing under the fig tree before Philip called you." And then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You'll see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The word of the Lord. So, I want you to first realize that the call of Jesus is personal. John tells us that Jesus goes to Galilee and he finds Philip. That's intentional language. It's not an accident. Jesus doesn't sit back and wait for Philip to come searching for him. Jesus goes and looks for him. Before Philip ever thought about following Jesus, Jesus was already moving toward him. And the call that Jesus gives is very simple. He says, "Follow me. Follow me." No prerequisites, no spiritual resume, no theological exam. Just a personal invitation. Aren't you glad that you don't have to pass some theological exam to follow Jesus? My wife learned all kind of songs from her mother when she was growing up. and she can tell you all the judges in order. I can't do that. I don't remember them. I'm so thankful when I think about things like Bible knowledge that I don't have to know everything before I come to Jesus. I hope that you feel the same. It reminds us that Jesus' invitation is not come and prove yourself, but come and see. Jesus doesn't demand certainty from us. He invites movement. He invites trust, and he invites us into a relationship with him. And Philip responds. He steps into the unknown because Jesus calls him personally. Church, I want you to hear this. Jesus knows your name. Jesus knows your story. Jesus knows your hometown. He knows your background, and he knows your baggage. And in spite of all of that, Jesus says to you, follow me. Follow me. Discipleship begins with a personal encounter, not with a perfect understanding, but a personal encounter with Jesus. And the first response of a disciple is to bring others. Philip doesn't keep Jesus to himself. He immediately goes to Nathanael. This seems to be the pattern that we see in John chapter 1. If you remember, Andrew brings Peter, and now Philip brings Nathanael. It seems that disciples make disciples. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you want somebody else to know him. You want somebody else to know the love that he extends. And so Philip's testimony is very simple. We have found him, the one that Moses wrote about, the one that the prophets prophesied and wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth. We found him. Now, Philip doesn't have a full understanding of the Christ. He doesn't have all the answers. He just simply shares what he knows. But Nathanael responds with skepticism. He says, can anything good come out of Nazareth? You think you found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth? Can anything good come from there? And I think he's simply saying, the prophets prophesied and wrote about that he would come from the line of David and that he would be born in Bethlehem. But Nazareth, just a little podunk, backwater, nothing, little town. Can the Messiah come from there? Are you kidding me? Seriously? Philip doesn't argue with him. He doesn't debate him. He doesn't put pressure on him. He simply says, come and see. Come and see. And I think the text emphasizes this beautifully. The power is not in our explanation. The power is in an encounter with Jesus. That's where the power comes from. Philip models courage without needing to convince anyone. He trusts that if Nathanael will just come and see Jesus for himself, Jesus will take care of the rest. And I think that's a lesson that I need to learn. I should have learned a long time ago that I don't have to argue someone into the kingdom. That never has worked for me, I'll be honest with you. I don't need to win an argument. I don't need to prove that what I believe or my faith tradition is the right way. I just need to trust that if I can get someone in front of Jesus, if I can just get someone to sit down and look at the words of Jesus, Jesus will do the rest. The Holy Spirit will work in them just like I trust that it has worked in me. Church, we don't have to be Bible scholars to bring someone to Jesus. Our job is not to win arguments. Our job is just to extend invitations. Come and see. Come and see is the simplest and most powerful evangelism strategy in all of Scripture. How easy is that? The master plan of evangelism is to invite someone to come and see. I want you to know that Jesus sees us before we see him. As Nathanael approaches, Jesus begins to speak identity over him. He says, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Jesus affirms his character before addressing his doubt. And so Nathanael is stunned. He says, How do you know me?" And Jesus says, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." How do you know me? This is the question every human heart asks. I truly believe that we all long to be fully known by someone. I mean, fully known by someone and still loved. I think that is why so many of us are reserved, and why some of you find it really hard, very difficult to get close to someone else, because deep inside, if we're honest with ourselves, I'm afraid that if you really knew me, if you really knew me fully, you wouldn't love me. You wouldn't like me. You wouldn't want to be my friend if you really, really knew me. I mean, the real me. I think that's true of all of us. The deep desires of our heart are for, I want someone to really know me, to know who I am, warts and all, mistakes and all, sin and all, and yet still loves me. The cry of every human heart: if they really knew me, they wouldn't love me. And yet Jesus says to Nathanael, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip ever called you. I know you." That this is not a random saying that Jesus says to him. In Jewish culture, the fig tree was known to be a place of prayer, a place of meditation, a place where you could think about the Scriptures. And Jesus is in essence saying to Nathanael, "I know who you are. I saw you meditating, praying, studying. I know the kind of heart that you have. I saw your private seeking. I saw your quiet longing. I saw your heart before you ever saw me." And we're reminded that Jesus sees people and they're searching and they're wrestling. And in the quiet moments of their uncertainty, he meets them there, not with condemnation, but with recognition. Church, Jesus sees your private battles. He sees your doubts. He sees your hopes. He sees those prayers that you whisper in secret. Before you ever took a step toward him, Jesus was already moving toward you. He already knew you. He knew your deepest, darkest secrets. He knew the very thing that if anyone else knew it, they would think less of you. Jesus knows that about you. And yet he still loves you. He still calls you and says, "Follow me." Doesn't that make you happy? Doesn't that bring you joy? Doesn't that bring you some level of comfort that in spite of the sin, in spite of where you've been, who you've been with, how long you stayed there, the thoughts that no one knows that you have, in spite of all of that, Jesus says, "I know you, and I still love you." God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank you, Jesus. Where are we? The revelation of Jesus produces confession. Nathanael moves from skepticism. It seems that he moves from skepticism to worship in just one moment. He says, "You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." What I want you to see is, it's easy for us to know something and then read back into the scripture what we already know. When I think Nathanael says, "You are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel," not for one second is he saying, "You are God in the flesh. You are God come down from heaven and have become a man. You are the Son of God, the King of Israel." That's not what he's saying, I don't believe. I think what he's saying is he's giving Jesus a title. You really are the Messiah. But when he says Messiah, he's not thinking what you and I think when we say Messiah. He's thinking a king like King David. You are an earthly king. You must be the one that has been prophesied about who's going to restore Israel, just like it was in the days of King David. We're going to be prominent again. We're going to throw off the yoke of slavery from the Romans. I think that's what he's saying. You are the Son of God, the King of Israel. You're the one who sits on God's throne as the king, or you will. But for us, I think this is one of the strongest declarations of Jesus' identity in the entire chapter. Notice the progression. He goes from skepticism. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Then he has curiosity. How do you know me? How is it possible that you already know me when we've never met? To conviction. You are the King of Israel. You are the Son of God. Nathanael didn't get there through argument. I think he got there through revelation. Transformation happens when people encounter Jesus personally. That's the way it happens for us. Not merely about hearing about him. Nathanael's confession is the result of revelation, not some persuasion. Jesus doesn't shame skeptics. He reveals himself to them. And when Jesus shows you who he is, the natural response for you is to worship him. When Jesus reveals himself, the natural response of anyone who comes into his presence and truly realizes that he is the Son of God, the natural response of us should be to worship him in some way. That might be to bow down before him. It might be to sing praises to him. It might be to throw our hands up in worship and in prayer. But the natural response of the human heart, I believe, when they finally come in contact and realize who Jesus is, it should be worship and praise. Notice that Jesus promises greater things. Jesus tells Nathanael, "You believe because I saw you under the fig tree, but you will see greater things than these." And then Jesus references Jacob's ladder from Genesis chapter 28. He says, "You'll see heaven opened and angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man." That's bringing up what happened with Jacob. You remember when he laid his head on the stone and he had the vision? Jesus, I think what Jesus is saying is, I am that ladder. I am the connection between God and men, between heaven and earth. I am the access point to God. There is no way to him but through me. And that encourages us to step into the journey with Jesus, because he always leads us into greater things, greater purpose, greater transformation, greater intimacy with God. Church, following Jesus is not a one-time decision. It is a lifelong unveiling. The more you walk with Him, the more you see Him. The more you see Him and spend time with Him, the more He leads you into a closer fellowship with Himself, with the Father. The closer you get to the Father, the more humble you ought to feel. Steve, I love the song Gratitude. I'm so thankful that others of you can continue to sing that song, but once I sing about three or four words, I'm a puddle. I'm worthless. Thank you for not saying amen. That song wrecks me when I think about all that God has done for me. What is my response? What other response could I have but to throw up my hands? To be filled with gratitude because of what He's done. Because I know me. When I look in the mirror, I know where I've been, what I've done, the things that I've thought, the things that I still think. I know me. And there is one who knows me better than I know me. And He was willing. He loved me so much. He was willing to die in my stead. You cannot get a better deal than that. Only in Jesus. The more you walk with Him, the more you see. And Jesus invites you into a life where heaven touches earth. I think that's why He told His disciples to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Because the closer we get to God, the more intimate we are with God, the more we understand that He knows me and loves me anyway, now I'm free to reveal myself to others, to show them the kind of love that God has for them, so that God's will be done here on earth, just as it is in heaven. See, that's preparing us for the future, the new heaven and the new earth, where God is our God, and we are His people, and He dwells with us, and we are righteous in His eyes. Folks, the invitation still stands for us today. The entire passage can be summarized in three movements. Jesus finds you. You, in turn, want to bring others to Him. And then Jesus begins to reveal Himself, that He is the Christ. He is the Savior, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He begins to open Himself up to you and reveal Himself. And the invitation that echoes through the text is still the same today. Come and see. Come and see. Not come and perform. Not come and pretend. Not come and understand everything perfectly. But simply, come and see. Come and see Jesus. And here's the final challenge. For the seeker, Jesus sees you. He knows you. And He's inviting you this morning. Come and see. For the skeptic, bring your questions to Jesus. He is not intimidated. There's nothing that's on your heart and mind that he can't answer, that he can't deal with. He's got broad shoulders. Bring your questions to him. For the believer, who is your Nathaniel? Who is that one that you're praying for that you need to bring to Jesus? Not save them, not argue with them, but just say, come and see. Come to see Jesus. And for every man and woman in the room, you need to take the next step. Whatever that next step is in your life, you need to take that next step. Whether it's recommitting your life to Jesus. Sometimes, do you ever say to yourself, I'm tired of the mediocrity. I'm tired of the apathy. I'm tired of the complacency. I'm tired of all the things that end in Y that are keeping me from following Jesus and being the man, being the woman that God wants me to be. Don't you get tired of the mediocrity sometimes? I do. I want to be more. I want to do more. I want to be the man that Jesus wants me to be. For all of us this morning, just come and see. Come and see. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. You will not be disappointed.